Blog Talk Radio.
Certified psychiatrist in private practice since 2003. Dr. Carroll previously was director of inpatient services at the Bay Pines VA Hospital and the Bay Pines VA Medical Center. Dr. Carroll specializes in the treatment of children 6 and older and the treatment of adults. She's also an all-time triathlete. If you're having any problems with life, please don't go to a Walmart. Please don't take it out on your neighbors. Please see a professional. If you're in the Florida area and you want to talk to somebody, give Dr. Carroll or one of her partners a call at 813-689-2466. Well, Bob, I'm glad you're back on your way back from your ride, and I know you're in the city of Dayton, and we want to take a moment to of silence for those lives lost in Dayton and in El Paso. And we also want to send a very special thank you out there to the professionals, my brothers and sisters in blue, and anybody wearing the badge. We appreciate everything you've done, and your professionalism was heroic. Well, Bob, why don't you start us off by letting us know about your trip, and I'm sure it was a lot of fun. Do you have a Fat Boy or an electric ride?
I got the old guy bike. I got all the bells and whistles. I got an ultra limited. Pretty much rides itself. You know what I mean? GPS, you know, it's a little outdated and all that. Music,
oh, wow.
Liquid food. Yeah, it's it was great. You know, I left Maryland. Took me 4 days to get up to Sturgis, sleeping on the town, you know, at KOAs and whatnot. It was amazing. You meet some of the most amazing people. You know, that you would, you know, middle America, you would never, you know, meet. And it was fantastic. Got there. Nothing but a flat tire on the way. Had to get that fixed. Thanks to the people in Wisconsin for that. made it up there. Got to see all kinds of sights. Sturgis, you know, we get there a couple days early, so before the chaos. And then we stay for a couple days to see the chaos. And then we head out. And it was great. My buddy brought his wife this time and up from Colorado, and she's like, it's not really what I expected. You know what I mean? Everyone's got this bad misnomer from, you know, the 80s or 90s of Sturgis. It's been cleaned up a lot,
right?
You know?
Sure.
So it was great. And then now just trekking home. I'm on day three of the way home. Stopped at the sister-in-law's in Dayton, Ohio, and gets to sleep in a bed tonight, which is fabulous. And then should be back home tomorrow. Yeah.
That's great. Well, I hope your ride is safe because there's a lot of stupid people out there that don't use their mirrors when they're making a turn or making a move from one lane to the other. So we'll keep you in our prayers till you get home.
Yeah, but, I just pray it's stupid, but it hurts.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? The sheriff told me one time, you can't teach stupid.
No.
Yeah. And that's the truth. I mean, and even with the signs, everybody has a sign on their car that's a rider that you know, keep an eye out for motorbikes that or motorcycles, and it still doesn't work. But there are a lot of people out there being stupid, taking these little jitneys on the highway that shouldn't be there.
I'm sure
having a physician for a wife, that you've been told so many times about your helmet and about the safety issues.
Right. Yes. I get all dolled up for the ride, the long rides. When I get into town, I go into what she calls the brain bucket, the little half helmet. So. Most motorcycle riders got to have an organ donor card. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. Hey, what's this big thing with Corey Anderson and Johnny Walker on the UFC 244? Do you have any idea? They seem to be coming at each other pretty hard.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I was no access to internet or TV for the weekend, so I'm going to have to go by you guys.
Yeah, it's just you and I tonight. The other guys are working.
Okay.
And Dr. Chris, we want to let everybody know that Dr. Chris, our faithful companion I've known Chris for over 60 years, is going to be going into a hospital. He's going to have a mitral valve replaced and maybe one or two of the other valves. So we'd ask everybody out there to keep a good thought for Chris. But he won't be with us tonight. But I guess the other question I had for you was Kayla Harrison claims that if she gets in the ring with Chris Cyborg, that she'll just flatten her right off. Is that possible?
Well, here's the thing. To not sell it as possible, they wouldn't make any money with the ticket. You know?
Right.
You know, she does have some skill. Cyborg's just, you know, so strong, and she's a, you know, she, she's my version of Roy Nelson. Roy Nelson, you know, big fat country boy. He was a black belt in BJJ, and then just thought it was easier knocking people out. Now Dana didn't like him because he didn't have the body. Cyborg has the body, and she's legit in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. So, and she just finds it easier just going in there and manhandling people and beating them down. So, it really comes down to, you know, can you bring a certain amount of striking, or are you that much more talented at BJJ? I mean, what's your plan? Because, you know, there's no real secret of what Cyborg's strengths and weaknesses are. You know, she's, you know, way strong. You know, that last girl, I forget her name, that fought her last time, did really good holding her against the cage for as strong as she is. But then again, the person holding the person on the cage is expending more energy. So it's a catch 22. You know, you got to expend so much energy to get that good position or that good takedown. And if you miss it, well, then you're, you know, tired. So I want to say what I love about MMA is everyone has a chance to dethrone the champion if they stick to what they're good at. If you can get past the hype, if you can get past, you know, always keep the fight where you're good, not go where they're good. Going back even to the Rousey days, you know, Ronda Rousey, like everyone, the problem there, Kat Zingano had a good chance. So many had a good chance, but no one went out and fought their game. They went out and tried to beat Rousey her way. Well, she was the best at that. You're not going to – she would do a judo throw and snatch you in an arm bar time and time again. Misha Tate did good against her, but it wasn't until Holly Holmes went out there and had no, you know, desire to go to the ring with her and just stayed on her feet.
Right.
That way, that's how you beat one of those people. So you have to stay where you're good at and stop going to where their strengths are. But I think even on the girl side, I mean, we know as men that we struggle with ego. And pride,
sure.
But it surprises me when I see the women go that direction, you know?
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you brought up about Ronda Rousey. Cyborg says if she got in the ring with her, she'd annihilate her. Is that more bravado, or do you think that would work?
Again, unless the matchup happens, it's all bravado. You know, it's smoke and mirrors. You know, we're selling tickets. You know, no one wants to see the guy on the other side of the podium going, you know, one guy saying, "Oh, I'm gonna kill you," and the next person going, "Well, you very well might." You know, you know,
yeah.
I'm only really, you know, kind of good. Like, no one wants to see
yeah.
that. They want as much, you know, trash talk back and forth to hype those ticket sales. And again, everyone's going to brag, like, you know, take my early career, you know, in the beginning of my career, I was 6-0 undefeated. I held back on training. I thought I was just that bad of a person, you know, until my first big loss. I'm like, oh, well, probably should train. So ego gets to all of us, you know, at some point.
Yeah,
and the best thing to do is just to expose yourself to as many, many training partners as possible and try to absorb what you can. But again, you know, just 2 weeks ago when we had that UFC fight, there's guy, you know, that shouldn't have won that did. You know, that's what I love. I always love the underdog, you know, because there's always that, you know, puncher's chance or striker's chance, however they call it. You know, I've even seen some mediocre jiu-jitsu guys do pretty well against some black belt jiu-jitsu guys just because they were confident. So, you know, as far as Cyborg and Rousey, it never happened because the money wasn't there. Rousey will probably never come out of retirement. There's no reason to. It's all money. Same thing with Conor.
Right.
They've made that amount of money now. Why would you go back, like when I had my gym, you get a lot of lower income people that want a shot at being something.
Right.
And so they get into the sport and you know, you really got to put forth some effort, but it's their shot, quote unquote. And so it's not the best choice. I mean, you know, I mean, I love the sport, but I told all my students stay in school because there's gotta be something else better. And once you make that money, There's no real reason to get punched in the face anymore.
Right, right. Yeah, it's funny you talked about Conor McGregor. I mean, he again has risen into the MMA news. Of course, it's everybody yelling that they want to take him on, and they can't make the fights because he won't come to the table. And I think you just hit it right on the head. Why does he need it? I mean, he's got enough money. He made a tremendous amount of money with the Mayweather fight. And although he did, get stupid because he's gotten in trouble a couple times since that fight with the law, with throwing a chair through a bus and getting into a personal interaction at a club with a phone and a fan. I don't see him coming out of retirement at all. Do you?
No. I mean, he's made that. He's tasted that money, and he won't come back mm-hmm. without that kind of for Mayweather money. So what the UFC mm-hmm. has to do is build another champion up. You know what I mean? To where they could sell as many tickets to give Conor that kind of money. But yeah, I mean, that's the whole point. The whole point is getting into this because, you know, we weren't good at basketball. We weren't good at baseball. We weren't good at football. Maybe had a little bit of an anger management issue. You know what I mean? Whatever. Had bad parents. Who knows? We got into the fighting. And that whole thing is like, back in my day, I'd make more money as a fighter, as a pro, because there was less of us. And when I came out of retirement, they weren't paying, you know, to try it again. They were paying pennies on the dollar because it was all about their promotion. You know, and so, I mean, you know, it's the American way. Everyone's out there to make money in some fashion or another, but the promoters are going to get their comfortable slice before the fighter gets anything.
If you could take a look at the Pacquiao fight, the Pacquiao-Thurman fight, they sold out MGM, which was almost 12,000 seats. Then on top of that, they had 500,000 drawdowns on pay-per-view. Really topped out the year. But it's going to come down to Manny getting $7 million. I think Keith got $2.5 million. And the rest all went to the promoters and everything else. And, you know, out of that, he's got to pay Dan and everybody else that was in the camp with him.
Sure.
But that's, you know, that's a hell of a lot more money than I get every week.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's like there was some ridiculous when Pacquiao and Mayweather fought. That one night, there was more money, I think, at the MGM than most countries make in a year.
Right, right. $60 million.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And a whole country of people, like, this is ridiculous. I mean, these are two individuals, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Pacquiao didn't get nearly the numbers that night that Mayweather did, and then Pacquiao was also fined because he didn't come clean about a shoulder injury, you know.
Right.
So I mean, what? I don't know. I mean, I get paid $7 million for one fight. I'm done. Just done. Yeah.
Sure. I'll take a ass beating for that.
All right. I do it today. I do it today.
even after I paid the surgeon to get myself back together. Hey, I don't know if you had a chance to see it or not, but this last weekend, Adam Kornacki had a face-to-face with Chris Areola. And Chris has always been one of our favorites. Yeah, it went the full 12 rounds. But this kid, he is tough. He took punches in every round and just kept on. In fact, they had set a record on the CompuBox for the most punches hit given and received in the history of the doing the CompuBox.
Wow.
But Anna Konecki came out on top. It was a good decision, and poor Chris Areola is now. He learned from losing the fight. He earned the respect of everybody else, and now people are lining up. They want to fight him. People that didn't want to fight him before because they thought that he was a lightweight that would just hit, jab, and run. But he stood
right.
his ground, boy, and he took some punishment from Konecki.
Well, it's funny you say that because in my records, in my history of fighting, I got more, I don't know, kudos or accolades for my losses
mm-hmm.
than I did for my wins.
Mm-hmm.
Like in Brazil, beat the first guy because back when we were fighting, you'd have to fight two and three guys a night. They were half hour rounds. That stuff. I was still in the tournament style UFC back in the day. And when I went to the Valley Tour in Brazil, I beat the first guy. And then second round, you get however long the next fight is to rest. I came out. We went the whole half hour, just destroyed each other. And guys I looked up to, like Marco Huas and all these other guys that were my coach's age and stuff that were in the first couple UFCs, I'd run into them at events and be like, hey, that was a nice fight. And I was like, that was my first big loss. And I was like, wow,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of neat because fighters and promoters want to know you're there to show. You're not just there for the money. You're there to put on a show. You're there to stay all,
right.
To the end of the rounds, to your best ability. You know,
mm-hmm.
Everyone can get knocked out. Everyone, can get outscored. But are you going to quit in the third or keep going? Are you going to quit in the sixth? You know what I mean? At what
mm-hmm.
point do you just give up or do you give your all the whole time? And that
mm-hmm.
that carries a lot of weight with people.
Sure. Sure. Especially if you're taking that many blows and that, they're not, you're not backing off on it. That would definitely keep everybody interested in you. But the, just so our listeners know, can you tell us the difference between Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and what Horace Gracie teaches?
Okay. Horace Gracie does teach Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. This is the big conundrum, I guess you will say it, with Jiu-Jitsu. Jiu-Jitsu comes from Japan. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And there was a Japanese real estate investor that went over to Brazil, was doing some stuff, and I guess he got a hold of the Gracies. Long story, I don't know the whole story, but then he started training them, trying to whatever, and then the Gracies took that, what he taught them, from
mm-hmm.
traditional jiu-jitsu with the Japanese, and then they modified it. They added a little bit of American wrestling, a tiny bit of stand-up, and that is what has evolved into Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Now, in the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu area, I mean, as a competitor myself and been in the sport a long time, what frustrates me is when people think Jiu-Jitsu comes from Brazil. Okay, the Japanese came up with all of this stuff, and they're not getting the credit. Now, Japanese Jiu-Jitsu, more traditional, very rigorous training, and they concentrate a lot more on footlocks and whatnot than the Brazilians do. The Brazilians are more gi orientated, which is like as a MMA guy, because back in the day when the UFC started, there was pretty much the jiu-jitsu side, and then there was everybody else, and I was on the everybody else side. But you had to learn stand up jiu-jitsu. Everything to be, wrestling, to be a mixed martial artist. Back in, like we talked a couple weeks ago, back in the day, everyone had a moniker. They were Taekwondo or kickboxing or jiu-jitsu.
Right.
Everyone had one. And then the wrestlers came in and dominated the jiu-jitsu guys because they could hold them down. The American wrestlers, by the way. And then it was my coach, Maurice Smith, who was the first one to head kick Mark Coleman. Then everyone was like, oh, wow, like we have to have stand-up as well. And that's what I think it really evolved into MMA or mixed martial art. Because you had to know a little bit of what everyone else knew just to defend against whatnot. Now, since then, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu has even more evolved, and I love it. And for all the listeners, I recommend, I mean, I had my gym, a lot of people come to me, their kids are like 6 or 8. I didn't have the patience for that, for stand up and whatnot. And I didn't think they should be striking, but, Jiu-Jitsu is a great place to start. You know, your kids in wrestling in school, off season, get them in Jiu-Jitsu. Jiu-Jitsu is great for women, because it's almost weightlessness. I mean, you're now, I would say it's like fighting in water, you know, where weight and strength don't necessarily matter anymore. So it's a great ground-based self-defense, but it is ground-based. But it's evolved. And then since then, we've had a lot of people like, Eddie, I got to look up his name, but he comes up with, he's out of New York, and he has created a ton of new jiu-jitsu moves. So the traditional Japanese jiu-jitsu will have a Japanese name to that that move. And then the Brazilian jiu-jitsu will have like a Portuguese name to that move. Then there's a lot of, it's one of Joe Rogan's favorite. Eddie, I can't remember his name right now. But anyway, he calls all his stuff after, like, you know, pot. He's like a huge weed advocate and calls stuff like the vaporizer. And that guy's killing everybody out there. And it's a sport jiu-jitsu. Mm-hmm. And sport jiu-jitsu, which is great because you can do it from 6 to 60. You know, you're really not hurting each other. You're wrestling. It's very intense. You're going for those submissions. But as soon as someone gets one, you can tap out. You can just say uncle, mm-hmm. if you will. Which is good and it's safe, you know, versus striking, you know, when you're a boxer or a kickboxer, you take a couple of licks and you got to stay in there or go down. You know, that's just it. So like we used to say, you know, on the kickboxing side, it took a special kind of stupid for us to do what we did. yeah. And then, you know, proud of it. And then, but then the, as far as the jiu-jitsu go, I mean, you can do that till you're 60 years old without getting hurt necessarily, which is good. Everyone should be working out.
I want to ask you, you talked about kids there for a minute. If you have a choice between a kid playing football and a kid going to jiu-jitsu and maybe taking a knock to the head or being thrown to the mat, do you have any problems? I mean, do you see a difference there that they, you know, with all these problems that they're having with the brains?
The TBI.
At this point in time. Especially,
yeah.
You know, I guess I'm sure your wife sees a lot of it.
Yeah, the traumatic brain injury, the TBI they're calling it, or I refer to it as the
right.
Will Smith movie. You know what I mean?
Right.
Football, they're running full speed and cracking into each other. Okay. So yeah, injuries are going to happen. It's going to happen. I had a specific, won't name any names, but a young member. His mom and dad were separated. His dad wanted him in jiu-jitsu, but he was an all-star football player. And his mom, said that, you know, we're revoking his permission slip because I'm the full-time parent. He needs to save himself for football. He can't get hurt. And I was like, wow. Like, you really have no idea about anything. you know what I mean? Because if you're going to try to save your kid from jiu-jitsu to go into football, you're killing that kid. I mean, yeah, there is. Okay, so boxers take 90% of their shots to the head. You know, you end up, you know, a little punch drunk. I've talked to some boxers that my wife can't understand, but I've been in the business a long time. And I slur my words. You know what I mean? So I get it, right? There's that punch drunk versus MMA, you know, you get punched in the head, but it's also ankle locks, knee bars, arm bars. You know what I mean? There's so many other things that can take away from the shots to the head. Football, you're right back to the head again. There's a helmet on there, but come on. I mean, you got two kids running as fast as they can at each other. Yeah, there's not enough padding in there. Just like, you know, talking about a motorcycle helmet, you know what I mean? Once you're, you know, I wear my helmet all the time, but, you know, in town at 30 miles an hour is a lot different than the freeway at 80, you know?
Right. Yeah, I coached football for many, many years. And even with the new floating helmet, I wouldn't have any of my grandkids going to football anymore.
No.
And one of the sad things is that it's also gone now to soccer, and that the new rules for soccer is that they can't do headbutts anymore. They can't do if the ball comes down, they can't hit it with its head. You call a foul right away because they're afraid of being sued.
Right.
Traumatic brain injury. And that, we're in such a litigious situation now.
But since you brought up soccer, let's give a shout out to the women. Woo woo.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. They did a great job. We have a tomorrow night show. If you've got some time, you want to call in, and we'll put you back on. But we have a guy who is a soccer. Mike Simczak.
Oh yeah, Mike is for sure. Do they
Mike
love
Walk,
that?
Talk, and Breeze.
We watched the women's finals with them. It's awesome. They know everything.
God.
It's awesome.
get to talk and you know, you just wait, sit back and just listen. It's great to listen to them because they are so knowledgeable about the whole, at every level. It's really great.
My cousin's that one. He can remember every stat about somebody in football, where they went to college, how many points they played. Can't tell you his anniversary, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right. My grandson's that way. He has a 139 IQ, but you ask him anything about any sport, and he'll just rattle it off. My son was that way. My grandson is just a walking, talking sports almanac.
That's awesome.
Which is great. Yeah. There was a fight scheduled for the Leah Cora Center at the University of Temple this week with Carl the Jackal Frampton. Had to be canceled because, and this is really weird. On Monday of, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, Monday last week, he texted his fan base that he was starting to downgrade to his training to get prepared for the fight. And Wednesday he said, you know, he had just had his last sparring and that he was going to relax and then he would be ready for the fight this week. Well, Sunday he was at the hotel that they use, and a pillar at the hotel fell down on him and messed up his hands.
So, wow.
Yeah, I can imagine that lawsuit. Here's a guy was going to make a pretty damn good payday. Now he's going to be out for, not only is he going to be out for this fight, but he's going to be out for anything to follow it. And
did you say a pillar?
Just a freak accident. Yeah.
Like a pillar, like a beam, like something fell out of the sky or standing upright.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like walking down the street and an airplane wing fall on you, you know?
Right.
Shoot. But I can imagine, I talked to the promoter yesterday, and he was saying, you know, they're going to fill in, but it's everybody else on that undercard, the people are calling for their money back on their tickets. Because they wanted to see Frampton.
Well, sure.
The other guys are all mostly Philadelphia and South Jersey guys. If anybody's listening, the fight is still on at the Leah Cora Center. First bout starts at 7:10 and goes on till around midnight. Do you know anything about Triple G and Canelo Alvarez? They've been trying to put this thing together for over a year, and it doesn't seem to be coming any closer. Golovkin just, it goes from one end to the other. What they're going to do, whether they're going to fight, they're not going to fight. Now, all of a sudden, it's a possible 2020. But it just doesn't seem to be, and the purse, they haven't even drawn a purse yet. So I'm sure that, if they're not starting it now, it doesn't look like it's going to be too good.
Were they trying to shoot for Madison Square Garden, or?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they both have a big fan base there.
I was stoked just to talk. We had that new Ray Robinson on the show, and he fought at Madison Square.
Yes.
What an epic thing, you know what I mean? Just to be in, I've never even been there. You know, that would be phenomenal. Now that I'm out on the East Coast, I have a lot of stuff to catch up on here.
Mm-hmm. You know, we probably should put you in touch with, I'll put you in touch with promoters out of Philadelphia and out of New York. I'm pulling my file now as to Russell Peltz does a lot of fights in Philadelphia. He does a lot in New York, and he's very knowledgeable about the there is an arena down in Norfolk that one of our former fighters, and he's a contributor to the show, Freight Train Fortuna, is putting shows together down there, which is not too far from you.
Yeah, that's a 33.3% chance I might live there in a year. With the Navy, my wife, she's putting in for Hawaii, San Diego, or Norfolk. So,
nice.
This military keeps us moving. Me, I just go with the flow.
Yes, I understand. But we had some news this week that Canelo Alvarez was stripped of his title for failure to agree to a mandatory with Sergey Dibenchenko. The reason for that was that Dibenchenko signed a deal for October 5th for his, I think it's the third of his mandatory sixth fight that he signed with Dazen. So Canelo Alvarez now wants to go to court and get his belts back because, he earned them and he wants to get them to a point where, to get in the and get yourself beat up like that to win the belt. And then the ruling body, which is usually a lot of people will say in the game for themselves only, are taking the belt away from him. So that's why he's got a court case coming up on it.
I hate when they go to court,
Yeah.
That's the hard part. Like, we talked about it before. I was a short little fat kid coming out of high school. Kind of had a man crush on Bruce Lee. That's what led to martial arts or whatever. But, and then it got just whatever, all of a sudden got taller and bigger. But, I figured, okay, I wasn't good at football. I wasn't good at baseball. I wasn't good at basketball. Well, I'll get into this. I started Taekwondo, then got into full. I was like, okay, well, this is a sport that's not going to have any politics. because it's only two people going in there and beating each other up. There's not a quarterback or a running back or a point guard. There's no one else to mess it up. Just one-on-one, like wrestling. There is so much politics. I mean, look at what Don King did to Tyson, you know what I mean? And all this, it's just these promoters that get me. It's like back in the day, and I made a comment on Facebook that upset him, but I had a great promoter named TJ Thompson out of Hawaii. He put on the Hawaiian International Super Bowl. And I went over there and fought. And when I was done, you know, I won the title and stuff, and I asked for a DVD, and he's like, well, you know, $20. And I thought that was, you know, BS, right? Like, I so many times in the MMA world, you get flown to a different country. This is back in the day. You know, anymore, there's so many people doing it. You got to be 20-0 to get invited to the next city, much less a different state. Back in my day, there were so very few of us. I'd get flown all over the place. I loved it, man. As a little redneck kid, I finally got to see the world. And anyway, but you go over to these promoters, and, you know, again, they're trying to make their money as well. But these, back in the day, the promoters promoted. They took care of the sales. They took care of the advertisement. They took care of everything. Anymore today in MMA, it's like Amway salesmen. You know, you want to be a fighter? Well, go out and sell as many tickets as you can to your coworkers, your friends, your family, whatever. And if you don't, you know, I mean, you say you're a good fighter with only like 10 friends, you will go nowhere. If you're a mediocre fighter with 100 friends, you will get every opportunity out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny you say that because that's exactly how it works in boxing. And back in the day, when the Tiberius were fighting, Dave Tiberius was fighting for the world championship. The people in Atlantic City couldn't give him more money, couldn't give him more rooms, couldn't give him more comp tickets than – you know, just to get in down there to fight. The fight game there in Atlantic City has died simply because the casinos aren't making any money. A couple of them have already closed down. But now, if you want to go down to fight in Atlantic City, you have to provide at least 1,000 ticket sales. You get a single room. Get a single room. And if anybody in your crowd is hungry, they provide you with the free buffet. But that's it. Yeah, and they don't even guarantee you a purse anymore. You gotta start looking at the promoters to make sure you got a good purse going in there, or else you don't go. And at one time they had a great place out at Showboat. But that shut down. So they're now fighting in the old boardwalk convention center on the boardwalk, and it's about as conducive to a great fight as being in a pay toilet and not having quarters. So they're not really getting anybody, any headliners anymore.
Right.
Hey, let me get back to MMA one more time with Kamaru Usman versus Colby Covington.
Okay.
That's coming up pretty soon. What's your thoughts on that one?
Let me look it up here real quick. Kamaru. I don't know enough about Kamaru to give a a good take on that. So let me punch it in here real quick. Yeah, it's not coming up. So I'm getting Camaro. I don't know enough about him to give my take on how that's going to work out. Sorry.
Okay. Sorry. It's another one of those things where there's an awful lot of bravado going on into the thing, and I'm sure that's going to be a good fight, but just too much hype. And Chris even talked about that a couple of weeks ago before the Pacquiao fight, that Keith was shooting his mouth off away a little too much and trying to be very strong in the interim, excuse me, before the fight, but yet when he got in the fight, boy, that was a. But I have to give the guy credit. He fought those last five rounds with a broken rib.
Wow.
You're throwing hooks, and you're throwing jabs with a broken rib. You know, that's just murder.
It takes core to do that. Because a true punch is coming from the core anyway. You know, that's one thing.
Right.
Since I've been on the East Coast, you know, the wife's over at Walter Reed. I got neck surgery over there. They fused me up. I got the opportunity to work next to these real heroes, these real warriors from the military that are there missing arms and legs. And now, you know, usually on Tuesday mornings I go and I work with them and teach them kickboxing and boxing. And I tell you what, to see these guys missing limbs showing up, there's none of us that have an excuse to not work out, to not, I mean, they inspired me. It's probably the most rewarding stuff I've ever done, you know, next to marriage and kids and even over my titles, you know, to see people just work out so hard and to try, you know?
Yeah. You know, Tampa's always been Tampa and Sarasota have always been the homes for the Warrior Games, Warrior Hero Games. It's a, you know, you have wheelchair, soccer, wheelchair, basketball. You have them running. They have the equestrian. They have the shooting. I mean, it's a whole nine yards. And to go down and watch these guys, you know, I mean, a lot of people will come up and say, you know, thank you for your service. And, you know, they look at you sometimes and they'll say something, or they won't say anything, especially the Vietnam veterans won't say anything because they were treated so poorly when they came home the first time.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's just easier just to nod your head. But these guys that are coming back now and these girls, they're tough. I really love, you know, I take my grandkids down to see it, and we'd love to go see the games. And those guys just never stop. You're right.
Never quit. I mean, they're coming with, you know, and it's like I fought for money and pride and ego and all this stuff. These guys fought for, I mean, maybe a college education, maybe against their morals and values, maybe against their religion. They did what they were told, you know what I mean? And they came back, you know, missing an arm or a leg, and mm-hmm. they want to be better. They show up every day and they work hard. And that blows me away when I've got, you know, some friends and family that, you know, make excuses all the time not to work out. You know, things are changing. You know, you got to realize after 40, you're going to hurt. You know, I'm sorry the doctors lied to you your whole life, but after 40, you're going to hurt one of three ways. Either injury from overactivity, injury from unactivity, or comfortably sore. Pick one, you know, you know, a lot of people just make excuses all the time. Well, it's not important. It's not important. Well, the best investment is your own body, you know.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And to see, you know, see all these people, you know, show up and do the things that they continue to do is just, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one of the reasons that we dedicate these programs to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces. You know, and the guys and girls in police and fire services, because this is not a good time to be in uniform. I don't care.
No, I feel bad for you guys.
Yeah, but it's a constant thing that you're always looking over your shoulder. One of the toughest things that guys coming back from, especially Afghanistan. One of the toughest things they have is reassimilating back into the community and to their families, and we just really appreciate everything that they do.
Yeah, we take that for granted. You know, like one of the best compliments I ever got is you know, I trained some law enforcement and stuff as well, and I'm gonna shout out to all the law enforcement agents out there that don't utilize the leg kick enough. That thing is brutal, and most states allow that for law enforcement. I push that on everybody. But anyway,
mm-hmm.
So I was training one of the law enforcement buddies, and And then we were still in Colorado. They have this thing, it's called Birth a Day. It's such a small town, they don't get days. They got one day of a carnival, right? So I showed up there. Yeah, just such a small town. And then Birth a Day. And then I showed up there with a buddy. We were advertising for our gym. And the officer on duty, you know, I thought about, you know, because that's the house. Oh, I'm going to sneak up on him. And I'm like, oh, wait, he's armed. Like, I probably shouldn't sneak up on him. So anyway, I went and said, hey, you know, I'm here. And he looked at me with a sigh of relief and goes, oh, I have backup. You know what I mean? And that was such a huge compliment, you know, coming from him, because he was there by himself or with the other guys he didn't trust. He was from a different precinct. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And man, that was overwhelmingly amazing, you know? But yeah, because you guys, I mean, it's like this trip to Sturgis, you know, just to say, because I've gone from Washington State to Sturgis on 90. I'd never been from the East Coast. Now that the wife's military, we're out here. So I wanted to go all the way up to Chicago and hit 90. Say I did it. I probably won't go back to Chicago. And I know a lot of good old Chicago cops in Chicago. I feel bad for all the police officers. Washington State, the Seattle cops that I know, I feel bad for them. They can't do anything. They can't even protect themselves. I used to want to be a law enforcement agent. Not anymore.
Hey, Deontay Wilder. I know you probably saw him. Oh, you didn't see the fight on Saturday night. He was ringside, he was talking. He was one of the interviewers with Jim Lampley. But he says that if he gets into the ring with Tyson Fury, that he's going to knock Tyson Fury out. I don't see that. I mean, I don't know if you know anything about either one, but both are damn good fighters. But I think that Fury definitely has the reach and the power to take Wilder down. They're probably going to fight the end of the year in December.
Well, good.
And then another fight that's coming up is that Derek Chisora, who's a very amiable fighter, and is going to take on Joseph Parker in October on the 26th. That's another fight that'll go toe-to-toe. Neither guy likes to back off. Neither guy likes to do anything but go right to the center of the ring and take his opponent down. So it'll be a punch fest. And a lump fest as far as somebody's concerned, but we want to let
I'm all for that as a fan and as a fighter, but it just as a coach and manager type, you have a shorter career if you're that guy. You know what I mean? Switching back to the MMA side, like Forrest Griffin, phenomenal fighter. I love him. Phenomenal. But he developed so much scar tissue in his face, he would bleed every time.
Right.
And he had to have an early career because they'd stop it on a cut. The guy could have finished, but you know what I mean? So, like, I want to say I was a slugfest. I was just too stupid to quit. You know what I mean? I'd get in there and just slug it out as well because I like that, you know. I like being a counter, and, you know, I got good head movement. Again, if you don't – there's no winning – at that point, you're coming out of that broken. The only good part about that is if you're the winner, you've got enough adrenaline where you won't feel it for like 24 or 48 hours. But the loser feels it like within three, you know?
Yeah, there's a one of the guys that Dr. Chris actually was a part owner in a franchise that had Tex Cobb. And
okay, wow.
When they, and Tex had fought the Houston Assassin. I'm blanking on the name now. But anyway, the two fighters really beat the hell out of each other at the night before. And they were staying in the same hotel. And Tex and Chris went down for breakfast. And they ran into the other fighter. And they're sitting there at breakfast in the both fighters are eating cream of wheat, and one guy looks at the other. Tex says, "I hate to say this, but I can't chew a damn thing because you hurt me so much." the other guy says, "What the hell do you think I'm eating the farina for?" They couldn't chew.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's what I love about MMA. I mean, the fighting gets all the things out of the way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What's the worst that can happen in any situation that breaks out? Well, that's why I love fighters, because they're more honest, you know, because they're not afraid to fight. They throw everything out there. As soon as you fight, though, it's like you've been friends for 10, 15 years, you know? And what I love, times I would win, that just meant I was buying. We'd go to the bar and we'd chat. You know what I mean? And develop some really good friends, and John Matua and some of these other guys I fought that I won.
Sure.
A few of the times that I lost, though, you know, you get those guys that are arrogant and like, I want to fight again, like in 5 minutes or 5 days. Like, give me time to rest. I want to fight again. You know, there's that ego part. But, you know, the fighting, I mean, it just gets all the bullshit out of the way. You know, it's as real and as raw as it can be. Because there's there's nothing above that, you know, and one guy loses and then, okay, you get it. Like, okay, well, you beat me on this day. There might be another day, but you have such a huge amount of respect for one another. It's just like we were talking earlier that you said that lost. Now everyone wants to fight him again. Well, or fight him again. They want to know that they have a chance as well. They want to go after the toughest guys possible, pride, ego, all of that, and then standings. You know, you don't climb your way to the top by beating the number 8 ranked guy. You always got to strive for the other ones.
It's funny you said about the after fight too, because there was a guy who was a world champion. His name is Dave Jaco. And he lives here in Sarasota. And Dave would go up to Madison Square Garden, the old Madison Square Garden. He'd put on a show. He'd win. And he'd get, we'll say, $20,000 probably was a lot of money at that time. And by the time he got home, he'd partied so much that he came home with about less than $1,000.
$1,000?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the truth. I mean, I've been fighting on and off for 20 years. And when you're on top, you have so many friends. And when you lose and you're on bottom, crickets. You know what I mean? Like, everyone goes home early.
Right.
You know what I mean? That kind of stuff. I've had, you know, training some fighters. I've had some pros and ammies under me. You know, there's a lot of pride. And if you lose, like, I don't want to come out of my hotel. You will go down there and thank everyone that came out to support you. Go now. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's a certain part of it to where, you know, you can't let your own feelings. But when you're walking in the ring, you have to fight for yourself. You can't fight for your family. Can't fight for your friends or your dad, anything like that. You have to be there. I mean, I've literally lost fights on the walk to the ring. And there's a lot of that to that. You have to be confident. You have to know your own skill. You have to, you know, feel good. We were talking earlier about, you know, the training camp where that guy got the pillar falling on him. The week before the fight, 2 weeks before the fight, we would call that hell week. That's where it got really hard, really tough. And then the last week, nothing but cardio and weight cut. You know what I mean? No contact.
Right.
No, you know, you can't risk. When you're cutting 10, 15, 20 pounds, you can't risk getting hit by somebody in the gym that doesn't know what they're doing.
Sure.
You know, that could forfeit a lot of money. So there's a lot more than goes into this, you know. Local pub and watch a UFC fight, and I hear everyone, you know, catcalling and saying this and that. I'm like, you really, you know, I don't say much, but they have no idea what that person went through the last 6 weeks.
Right.
No idea.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up too, because Dave trained both his sons to be professional fighters. His son, Adam, got in the ring with Sean Porter. This is about 3 years ago.
And
after the first round, he went back in the corner, and he looked at his brother. He says, "I've never been hit like that before." His brother said, "Well, get back here and give it to him." And he got up. He walked out to the center of the ring, touched gloves, and then came back to the corner. I asked him what happened. He said, I took a look at him. I took a beating in the first round, and I knew I wanted to be able to raise my children, and I wasn't going to be able to do it if I stayed in there. So he was smart enough to get out.
Yeah, you got to know. Everyone, the whole world, right now, today, everyone needs to know their limitations. That's it. Everyone's got to stop be something they're not. Man, know your limitations. It's okay to be mediocre. You know, you're not going to win the trophy being mediocre, but it's still an okay position to be in. You know what I mean?
Right.
If it wasn't you, you know, then the rest of us couldn't do what we do. You know, I mean, everyone as together, we all got to work together. You know, we're all nitpicking everything for the rest of the world, but whatever. My opinion.
Right. Well, Bob, we're right at the end of our hour here, and I want to thank you very much for coming on with us tonight, especially since you're still on the road. And again, safe trip at home, and we'll keep you in our prayers until we talk to you next week.
All right, brother. Thank you, Frank. Appreciate you guys, and thanks to the listeners.
Okay, take care. Ladies and gentlemen, this program is brought to you every night of the week in grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces and the men and women Police and Fire Services. When you're out there and see somebody in uniform, please acknowledge them. They do an awful lot of good for everybody. These programs are dedicated to those who lost their lives in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcap, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Henler, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Anafa Crispin, Lakeland PD, Chief Al Hogle, Longbow Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Lozaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township PA Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Jonathan Scott Pine, Orange County Sheriff's Department, Patrolman Robert Germain, Windermere, Florida Police Department, Trooper Chelsea Richards, Florida Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Joyce Craig Lewis, Philadelphia Fire Department, Patrolman Charlie Condit, Tarpon Springs Police Department, Hillsborough County Deputy Sheriff Charlie Kotloff, Delaware State Trooper Sergeant Rodney Bond, Captain Chris Leach, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Jerry Ficus, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant R.F. Hope, Wilmington Fire Department, FDLE Special Inspector Vinny Galaccio, Delaware State Trooper Corporal Stephen Ballard, Kissimmee Patrol Officer Matt Baxter, Kissimmee Sergeant Sam Howard, Captain Matt Letourneau, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Bill Gentry, Highlands County Sheriff's Department, Deputy Clay Zerba, Clay County Sheriff's Department, Deputy Natalie Corona, L.A. County Sheriff's Department, Deputy April Rodriguez, Esco County Deputy Sheriff, Officer Robert Kitchen, Biloxi, Kentucky Police Department. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, at some time we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the roads rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your face, on your fields, and the sun shine lightly on your face until we meet again. May the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hallow of his hand. Good night. God bless, and have a great week.
Shem alek ma yelama, shem ahezahir ma, son ashen evorat fed, hakuig again ma yelama. Yeah. fiery blade engaged to lead. He'd break the bravest in the field.
All units be advised, 1999's respondent to his last emergency. May God rest his soul.